Friends, listen and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious, and they respect all. Yet, they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all-blissful forms of the Lord of Lord Vishnu and His plenary portions. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who is the original person of all the Vishnu categories, expands Himself in two different categories, namely integrated plenary portions and separated parts and parcels. The separated parts and parcels are the servitors, and the integrated plenary portion of Vishnu Tattva are the worshipful objects of service. All demigods who are empowered by the Supreme Lord are also separated parts and parcels. They do not belong to the categories of Vishnu Tattva. The Vishnu Tattvas are living beings equally as powerful as the original form of personality of Godhead, and they display different categories of power in consideration of different times and circumstances. The separated parts and parcels are powerful by limitation. They do not have unlimited power like the Vishnu Tattvas. Therefore, one should never classify the Vishnu Tattvas or the plenary portions of the Narayana, the personality of Godhead, in the same categories as with parts and parcels. If anyone does so, he becomes at once an offender by the name Pashandi. In the age of Kali, many foolish persons commit such unlawful offenses and equalize the two categories. The separated parts and parcels have different positions in the estimation of material powers, and some of them are like Kala Bhairava, Smasana Bhairava, Sani, Mahakali and Chandika. These demigods are worshipped mostly by those who are in the lowest categories of the mode of darkness or ignorance. Other demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Surya, Ganesha and many similar deities are worshipped by men in the mode of passion, urged on by the desire for material enjoyment. But those who are actually situated in the mode of goodness, Sattvagun, of material nature, worship only Vishnu Tattvas. Vishnu Tattvas are represented by various names and forms such as Narayana, Damodara, Vamana, Govinda and Adokshaja. The qualified Brahmanas worship the Vishnu Tattvas represented by the Salagram Shila. And some of the higher castes like Kshatriyas and Vaishyas are generally worship the Vishnu Tattvas. Highly qualified Brahmanas situated in the mode of goodness have no grudges against the mode of worship of others. They have all respect for other demigods, even though they may look ghastly like Kal Bhairava and Mahakali. They know very well that these horrible features of the Supreme Lord are all different servitors of the Lord under different conditions. Yet they reject the worship of both horrible and attractive features of the demigods, and they concentrate only on the forms of Vishnu because they are serious about liberation from material conditions. The demigods, even to the stage of Brahma, the supreme of all demigods, cannot offer liberation to anyone. Hiranyakashipu underwent a severe type of penance to become eternal in life. But his worshipable deity, Brahma, could not satisfy him with such blessings. Therefore, Vishnu and none else is called Muktipada, or the personality of Godhead who can bestow upon us mukti, liberation. The demigods, being like other living entities in the material world, are all liquidated at the time of annihilation of the material structure. They are themselves unable to get liberation, and what to speak of giving liberation to all their devotees? The demigods can award the worshippers some temporary benefit only and not the ultimate one. It is for this reason only that candidates for liberation liberation deliberately reject the worship of the demigods, although they have no disrespect for any of them. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taruvhyascha Krupa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanevhyo Vaishnavevhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you for all coming for this class and seeking all everyone's blessings. I have never given class in such a continuous manner, verse after verse in the same chapter. Normally it would be like once in a month like that in Chowpatty, sometime 2 months. So we are continuing this reading from Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity, Divine Service. And here is something spoken about demigod worship by Sutta Goswami. After he establishes that we should the activity should be for the satisfaction of Hari, Hari Toshanam, all the activities, because that's the ultimate purpose, so that we can get liberation. So in this verse also, it's those who are desiring liberation, mukshavo ghor rupan hitva bhut patim atha. Hitva means rejecting or giving up. They give up the worship of all other forms and they focus on Vishnu because they are desiring liberation. So this is something that people in mode of passion and ignorance cannot connect, that do we really need liberation? Especially people in mode of ignorance and passion, they don't feel there is a need for liberation, because certain things they don't see about the faults of life. And these faults Krishna explains in Gita, Janma Murti Jara Vyadi Dukho Dosh Anudarshanam. Dosha means faults. Uh, So yes, everything may be fine, but there are some faults here. If you see Samudra Manthan, there is a beautiful episode when Rama or Lakshmi ji appears from churning up ocean of milk. If you see all the forms of Lakshmi, Mother Sita, Srimati Radharani, they don't take birth, they just appear. You know, they just appear from land, from ocean, she appears. Mother Lakshmi, she appears. And she is having a garland in her hand and looking for a suitable candidate to accept as protector, as husband. And she is going around seeing all the people, very innocent, very pure, but seeing some faults in some personality, everything like that. Even Lord Shiva, she says, you know, he's nice, but there is some problem. He's wearing ashes and, you know, skulls as garland. So she's like, lives in crematorium. So the beautiful descriptions are there in that chapter. But she has a respect for all. But she says, there are some faults are here. I can't. Finally, she accepts Vishnu as her husband. So here we see that she is actually rejecting many personalities. All the demigods are actually standing there. Apart from demons, demigods are also standing, all great personalities. But she is rejecting them. But here the catchword is anasuyava. Anasuyava means without an envy, without any disrespect. So people in mode of passion and ignorance, they can't see that there are some faults in the life that we're leading. Although there is a lot of, you know, this material energy is very powerful, a lot of things come out. Many things, many facilities, all these things are there. But they're surrounded by all these faults. Janma Murti Jara Vyadhi. Like some people sometimes they ask, if everything is available, you know, good health, good life, opulence, and good terms, and like very nice relationship, very nice exchanges, then what is the problem in living life here? And we can make it, you know, we can make it nice. It's possible, isn't it? It's possible. And there are people like that who can make it possible. There is opulence, there is very nice cordial relationship, there is respect, there is all these qualities you will see. So what's wrong? Why we are so much against all these things and we want to get out of this situation? This is a good situation. But the point is, these faults are there. They're limiting us. Like our Badrinarayan Swami, he gives classes in Mayapur. Sometime I would be there hearing his classes, and he spoke once one example that there was a nice hotel came up in a relatively poor area of America, where all the kind of ghettos, poor people living. So for me to hear that poor people in America was also a kind of surprise. There are poor people in America with less money and all, and they take to sometimes criminal activities also. And he says this whole big restaurant came up with big nice glass windows, huge size glass windows. Inside there was dining, and many people would come there to hold their meetings about growing their, you know, company or corporate sector, whatever it is. Until they'd be holding meeting, these poor people sometimes come up and watch through that glass window what's happening inside. They can't enter inside because, you know, it's poor people. But they'd be watching. And because they'd be watching, they'll always get distracted, and they would feel that, you know, we are speaking about making money and, you know, million, billion, trillion, whatever. And these people, poor people are watching, they're feeling, you know, kind of, it was not mixing well. It was like, you know, different rasas combining, like you are combining sweet rice with yogurt, something like that. Rasavas, we say. So they said, we can't come here to discuss our meetings, but these people are coming here. So there was kind of a complaint. But there is no law, you cannot take people out like that. From the road they can watch, they can stand, they have a right. So the hotel management people, they were very worried what to do, what to do, what to do. And what they did, they just put a huge screen, blocked it. That means they can no more see the miseries outside and then discuss their whole thing, whatever they want to do in life. And the point he was trying to make was, by turning a blind eye, we don't get rid of the miseries. Something has to be done about it. So yes, I may be happy because by the good karma that we have done in our previous lives, I may be happy in certain situation, comfortable, happy situation. But I am surrounded by so much of miseries in this world. Then what is the use of my happiness when people are surrounding me is actually suffering? There is distrust, there is a lot of, you know, this. If you go out, as soon as we go out in the corporate world, everywhere, there is so much of distrust, so much of fear, so much of, you know, so many things constantly, you know, hitting. How much we can turn our eyes, these are all problems. So yes, why all this fear and all these things are there, greed and lack of trust? And because we are surrounded by this major faults, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. There is a constant fight against these things. There is a constant fight against vyadhi. There is a constant fight against how to live long, healthy life. There is a constant fight. Because of this thing, there is fear, there is, we need our insurance, we need our, all these things. And because of those things, again, there is a world of people are fighting with each other for their quota, their growth, their everything. There is selfishness, there is greed. So it's all emanating from these basic fundamental flaws. We just can't avoid. How comfortable things may be in some circle, you know. Like I was in Finland, Helsinki. I found a very nice thing there. That you have a ticket, train, local train ticket, and you have to swipe and go, right? In the West it is like that. So when you swipe, the door opens. But there is no doors. No doors are there. You just swipe and go. No door to check you. Because the government says it is a responsibility that you do these things, citizens, and that should have trust and faith with the state and the citizens, have a good relationship, have trust. If you are taking a train, you have to swipe. And I said, suppose somebody doesn't do it, what happens? Like, I'm from India, so the tendency is there to go without ticket. Sometimes I would see a huge queue in local trains. I'd say, let me go. If TC comes, let me see what happens. If you like, once in 100, I may go without ticket. In India, it is like, okay, people do that. So I also did many times. Because by the time you reach the window, it is like 20, 30 minutes. So when 20 minutes minimum, then 10 train to catch to another 10 minutes. So a half hour, whole wait, let's go. See what happens, like that. So I asked, if I don't, so I will just go in, what happens? Now the TC will come. They come very rarely, but they come. If they ask ticket, then what the person says, see, I was in a very hurry. I just had to catch the train, I just ran in. They may say, like, something they will say. The TC will take their thing and swipe it and give it back. Will not demand. Sometimes they don't even give any kind of, you know. So that dealing also helps the person to inspire them to actually, I should swipe, you know, why should I? So this kind of lack of trust building, faith building, always inspires people to do their duties properly. Yeah, that these things are there, but no matter, it's like a state where, you know, it's not a family even, it's a state where government, people, citizens, there's a lot of trust in there. Similarly, within family, within community, you can build such trust, such nice facility and such nice communication. But whatever we may be doing, we are surrounded by these things, surrounded by lust, greed, anger, and all these things, distrust. So in that situation, how can we live in a peaceful way? It's not possible to live in a peaceful way. So therefore, we have to deal with these problems, Janma Mrityu Janavadi. We have to deal with it actually. So dealing means then those who want mumukshu. Because in living in this world, we cannot resolve the problem of death. Because the body is a temporary body. It has to die. Jatasya dhruva mrityu. It is not possible to make the body live forever here, because it is designed like that. It has to decay, it has to die. It will go away. Nobody can keep it. Even the yogis who do this, you know, pranayama, and live for a very long life. Very, very long life. You know, they like when we do pranayama, our breathing capacity increases. That means our inhalation and exhalation will be very long. So because our lifespan is limited by number of breathing that we have, according to our karma, so if I breathe longer, that means I can live long. So some of the yogis, they would breathe very slowly, so slow that one inhalation may take months to complete. Very slow. That means the body is in a very fine balance. There is a lot of equilibrium inside, a lot of stability. Very slow, months. Then they hold it for another few months. You know, they can hold the air for a long time, then slowly exhale for another few months. In this way, they live long. But what is the goal of that yogis? Is to get liberation. To get liberation. So the longer we live, it is better. Like in a Vedic system, when somebody, some child, pays obeisances to some senior people, they say Ayushman Bhava. They give these blessings. Like we say Krishnar Mati Bhava. That you should have, your mind should be absorbed in Krishna's thought. Similarly, they say, you live long, but what is the purpose of living long? Because human form is such a rare form. If we miss it, we'll miss it. So better try to do it, live long somehow or other, and try to perfect it. So what is that perfection? We cannot live forever. We have to. So perfection is get liberation. So therefore, first of all, we have to establish within ourselves, within our heart, that we need to get out of this place. This place is not worth living, because no matter how good you want to be, you cannot be. We cannot be good. Like, for example, eating. We may be trying to eat very, you know, vegan or sattvic or whatever it is. But eating means basically killing. Somebody may say, okay, you don't eat meat and fish and all those things. But you are eating vegetable grain, they're also life. Because life needs life to sustain. Jiva jiva sa jivanam. We can't eat rocks and, you know, sand and survive. Because we are made up of something that is life. So to nourish that life, we need life. Right? And that life is what? Either meat, fish, you have to eat them to live. Otherwise, we eat vegetables or grains, which are also life forms. They are not matter. There is life forms in that. They can sustain, that can nourish. So one may say, okay, well, the highest yogis, therefore, they don't even eat. Because eating means violence. Eating means lust. It is enjoyment. It is a very ugly thing. So they would just breathe. But even breathing kills bacteria, right? No matter how slow you breathe, you'll kill to live. Because other yogis, they just breathe and drink water. Water is considered matter. It's a very interesting element, water. Because it can give life, but it is not life. But again, drinking water means so many things comes with the water. We have to kill them. And other yogis, they can't even survive drinking water. They just take some leaf that is falling from the trees. Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, we study this thing, how he reduces one after other. Shri Radha Gopala Nand ki jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So, like that, they can't survive with water. They take leaves or fruits that fall from the tree. Because by eating fruit, you give the seed back to the nature. So another plant can come. We are not killing exactly. We are just eating the fruit, but we are giving the seed back to the... So those Phalahari Babas, you know, they're very strict tapasvis, penance. They just eat the fruit and give the seed back to the nature without hurting any kind of... But when we eat vegetables like beans and grains especially, we eat the seeds. Grains means we are directly eating the seeds. So it is more sinful. And so therefore in Vaishnava community, what do? We offer everything. So sacrifice, somebody offers sacrifice, goat as a sacrifice to these ghastly forms like Kali. Because they can't, you know, control themselves eating all these things. So at least there is somebody who is saying, okay, you eat Kali, give the blessings. Similarly, we eat grains and all, but we offer it to Krishna. We make it sacrifice. But there is a big difference, of course. That's a whole difference. Offering grains and vegetables and fruits are sanctioned by Krishna. Patram pusmam phalam toyam yume bhaktya prayachati. But the whole element in that is bhakti. It is not purifying the food. To purify and eat and enjoy. That's not the idea. Idea is bhakti to Krishna. Devotion to Krishna. That devotion has to come in our heart. Then there will be liberation. Because unless we have an attachment for Krishna, even if we get detached from this world, we cannot be happy. I will be like somewhere in between. The devotion has to come. So yes, we have to first of all understand we need liberation, that our existence here is based on sin only. It's based on violence. My survival will destroy something else. I cannot live without destroying something else. That is a very embarrassing situation. We may not want it, but that's what we are. That's how we live our life. So, any conscious person therefore say, I don't want to live like this, in this creation where everything is nothing but violence, destruction, lust, greed. Lust, greed means my enjoyment. When there is a question of my enjoyment comes, anything else comes opposing it, we don't want it. Hiranyakashipu, he didn't even wanted Prahlad to leave. He's coming from his body, his own son. But he couldn't take it. So why lust is bad? Because there is so much problem comes because of that. Lust means there is no love. It's a little greed. And greed means there is no end. There is always dissatisfaction. Like in India, they used to say, like, in India, wherever you go, there is some bribing you have to do. You know, you want to clear your electric bill in a long queue, you can give some bribe and it will be cleared quickly. So then there was some kind of joke that this person takes bribe because he's a security force or whatever it is. But when he goes to clear his electric bill, he gets a little bribe there. He goes to, you know, get his water supply is not there, so goes there, gives some bribe, the water comes. Like that, whatever bribes he gives, he gives those bribes back to other people to survive himself. So why? In the end of the day, you are only, you know, living in anxieties. Taking bribe is anxiety because it's like an unlawful thing. And giving bribe is also an unlawful thing. So in the end, you don't actually keep much money. You have to give back in different way because everybody is, you know, corrupt. So what is the point? So that's what we are doing in life. You know, this greed, lust, anger is basically increasing our anxieties. That's that. Without that, without anxieties, you can't have good health also. They are all connected. So anyway, the point is these things, which is Raja and Tamar, basically Raja, Krishna says, Kamayasa, Krodhayasa, Rajat Guna Samadbhava. The bhava means the existence of lust and greed. It is arising from passion. It's the passion is the ground where kama and lobha they take birth. So if we think that we can make this world beautiful, happy, it is a dream. It's not possible. And it is all temporary. Therefore, we need to understand that we have to get out of these things. Mumukshava, we have to. And what is the quality that we need to get liberation is actually anasuyave, non-envious. Or like here Prabhupada says, non-envious, but in the translation it says, not being disrespectful to others. So, not being disrespectful, this is something very difficult to do. Because if you study, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching is the same. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taruriba Shahishuna, Amani Namanadena Kirtanya Sada. There was a nice discussion two, three days back here on this verse. Trinadapi Sunichena, that one has to be more humble than Prabhupada's blade of grass. There was some discussion, eva or api, what should be used, these words. Trana also means, to bring a little more confusion, Trana means actually a dead blade of grass. Trana, that fall on the, like straw, you know straw, they're actually cut from the tree, they're dead, they lie on the floor. So even if you trample them, they just straight trample. They don't, like grass comes back a little bit up. You press them, it comes back. So the ego was down, then ego is back. I'm just trying to be more graphic. But Trana is really, they're just lying, as if don't exist. People walk on them, go away, and that is Trana. But then Trana is a dead thing. It's a dead thing. But trees have life. And they take all the heat but give shadow to people. They take all the snow, and there is some shelter there, or rain. In the cold they give warmth, in the hot season they give coolness to the travelers. And they take the heat themselves but offer. So that is even more higher, because if I'm giving when I'm very wealthy and everything is there, I'm giving, that's okay, good. But then if I struggle hard to give somebody something, that is even more glorious, isn't it? Trees, they themselves suffer, but they give. Suffering and giving, that is even difficult. So the trees are like that. If you see Srila Prabhupada's life also, he suffered a lot. Like a heart attack, and there was no money, there was no support from anywhere, neither from his own personal family, nor from spiritual family. There was no support, whatever. He suffered a lot. But his mission was to give. They asked, why are you here? Like in America, they asked him, why are you here? And he said, well, Jesus said there is a God, King. So I have come to give you the name of the God. And he said, there is a kingdom of God. I have come to give you the address of the God, kingdom, so that you can reach there. You can see God. You can talk to him. So like Prabhupada came to give. The mood was only give. Here also he came, they asked, why you came here to London? Prabhupada said, because all the Britishers, you went to India, you got so many things from there, you brought so many things to England, but one thing you didn't bring, and I have come to give you that. What is that? Krishna's holy name. So we know this story. And the best jewel that you left there. So please, now take it. So his mood was to give. So suffering and giving is even higher. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amane Namana Dena. That don't expect respect and give respect. Like trees have no ego actually in that sense. these trees have no ego. They just kind of, the nervous system is also not so well developed. They're not object when somebody is cutting. Like an animal, they object. They have developed nervous system. They scream, they cry, they say, please, don't kill me. You know, there is a kind of objection. You can feel it. But trees don't object because their system is not so developed. But still they take the pain and give. Amanina is totally developed because we have egos. Not only developed sensory system, we have ego. And to respect others, that may be okay, but to not expecting respect is very difficult to overcome. And when nobody is respecting you, still you respect, that is even more difficult. That's very difficult. You know, this is, the ego is the last layer. It is the toughest. The more subtle, more difficult. More subtle, more difficult to overcome. So these things, being respectful is such a tough thing, and that's what is the root cause of all relationship problem, if you see. When we don't respect people, we actually reject them. If there is no respect, there is rejection. Therefore, we have to respect everything. Everything. The trees, the ants, the animals, human beings, this race, that race, or Brahmanas, or Chandala, everybody, we have to respect all. Because, you see, it's a very simple example that Dadati Patikranati Guru Makhishti Purchit, that basis of relationship, we give some gift. So if there is Priti Lakshan, there is love, affection, if we give something, an offering, people accept it with a gratitude and everything. It happens. That's what builds the relationship. But if I give something, somebody, but don't respect that person will never like that gift, even if it is a gift. Even if it may be the best thing that you were looking for years and you got it. Something that you have been thinking, dreaming to get, somebody gives you but disrespects, that very object will reflect that disrespect and you cannot hold it anymore. You'll throw it in the ocean. You know? Because disrespect. Disrespect kills relationship. Amanina manadirman, give all respect. That means it's not that people are free of faults. We have all faults. We have faults. So despite having faults, if somebody respects me, that really touches me. You know, like what Prabhupada, you know, how he became successful, because he went to this land of America, the youths are totally misdirected and there was nobody to guide them, nobody to, you know, take care of them. They're living in a very, very, you know, direction of their life going in a very wrong ways. And here Prabhupada comes, he sees good in them and he respects them. He has a respectful attitude towards them. And then in a return, they try to be submissive to Prabhupada. And that's how the relationship built. You see, if you see Prabhupada disciples even today, they all love him like anything because Prabhupada had that thing. He gave respect to all of these people. Similarly, unless we have this quality, we cannot get moksha. We cannot get liberation. So, therefore, the devotees, we all try to worship Krishna, being attracted to his beautiful form. And many devotional services we render. But unless we overcome these difficulties, anasuyava, then we cannot get liberation. So yes, we reject the demigod worship, but we do not disrespect. Because there is no disrespect, you will see devotees also attract the blessings of the demigods. But if there is an attitude of disrespect, we don't get that. And that is you know, to survive in this world, the demigods supply everything. The sun is supplying sunlight, Suryadev. Can we live without sunlight? Can we think of, we shouldn't be grateful, shouldn't be respectful? Yes, we worship Krishna because we are desiring liberation. But we don't disrespect them. Neither we should disrespect people who worship them also. There is no question of disrespect anything, anybody, what to speak of demigods. But we maintain a distance. Why? Because we don't want to get contaminated. Just like a doctor, when he goes to treat people in an epidemic, some kind of disease is spreading, he's treating people, he's trying to save their life, but he's protecting himself with gloves, or, you know, apron, or his mask in the face. But should he say he's hating them? Why is he hating them? Why is he there? He's there. He's there to help. So the devotee is, while dealing with people who are kind of totally absorbed in mode of passion, ignorance, they're caught up in those things, we have to guard ourselves for not being contaminated by those things. But at the same time, we have to help them to come out of that. And that's what preaching is about. So therefore, the attitude of respect has to be there. Otherwise, there will not be, they will not respect, they will not, they'll even look at us. If they don't look at us, they don't get any association with us, how can they come out of those things? It's not possible. So yes, in this world, there are various responsibilities to achieve something in life. Different roles, different responsibilities. But the responsibility of being devotee is the most difficult one. It's the most highest and the best, and it is a big, huge task. So unless the blessings of, you know, Prabhupada and Vaishnavas and great pure devotees, the deities, unless we have that blessings, it is difficult to discharge this responsibility. But yes, it is possible, and that's what we should hanker, because everybody should need to grow. We need to grow, we need to progress. And by following, by inspired by this kind of verses, and the right attitude, how they reject this horrible form, yet they respect. So these things we have to understand, and then there is a chance that we ourselves overcome, and we can help others to overcome and make life very beautiful, very nice. And that is all. This is all possible through devotion to Narayana Kala Shanta. The form of Lord Krishna is very peaceful, very attractive. And this attracts everybody's mind actually. People in mode of passion also get attracted to Krishna. Or mode of ignorance also get attracted for some time. But those in mode of goodness, they constantly get drawn towards this form. So they worship. But what is the worship again? Devotion. Bhakti. And how bhakti can be cultivated? By chanting and hearing. Or hearing and chanting. That is the main limb of bhakti, Prahlad Maharaj says. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. This begins, and that is the constant. Sravanam Kirtanam is the constant thing, even when you reaches, you know, Vaschalya, Madhurya, whatever it is. But hearing, chanting doesn't stop. It becomes enriched with more and more and more quality. More quality. So this is something that we should never stop. Chanting, hearing about Krishna. And that is the main limb of bhakti. And that's what will help us to attain moksha. And by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we have beautiful ISKCON centers where so many kind of nice deity worship, kirtan, all these activities are happening. Today is Pushyabhishek. This is Purnima, Pushya Purnima. Pushya is a month. Where January to December, we know in Indian terms we are forgetting. But we think Pushya Masa. And Mass means month, and Purnima. And today is the day many flowers are offered to the Lord. Because in this time, especially in India, a lot of flowers come. It's a little chill there. Here it is so chill that even trees are without leaves. So flowers also become very rare here, but in some garden they grow. But I was in Scandinavian country, hardly any flowers also. All the trees are standing, you know, just without any leaves. But in India, a lot of flowers grow. If you go to Mayapur, the gardens are filled with flowers this time. So today they put Lord Jagannath a lot of flowers. Every day they put flowers to Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. The last Sringar of the day in Jagannath is called Vada Sringar. Vada Sringar means the best of all Sringars. That is done in the night time. Because they believe in night, Lord Krishna goes for Rasa dance. Jagannath goes for Rasa dance. So he should be dressed the best. What is the best dress? Flowers. Most of them are flowers. And today especially, a lot of flowers are offered to Jagannath. And dress and everything. And these are the item of devotion. Devotion where constant engagement is going on just to please the Lord. Pleasing the Lord constantly. And that's how Haritoshanam, by pleasing Krishna, will lose taste in the happiness that comes out of passion and ignorance. There is some happiness, experience of happiness in passion and ignorance, but will lose taste for those things. And a taste and attachment to Krishna will grow so much that anyway we leave this body, we have to leave this body. But because the attachment has grown while living in this body, so at the death we go to Krishna's abode. That's the whole program, in short. So, thank you for attentive hearing, and thanks everybody. Tomorrow morning I'm going back to Mumbai to my services there. So I had a wonderful time here with all of you, and if I commit any mistake or any, please forgive me. Hare Krishna.